So if you've been following along with the show, you may have heard some of these announcements, but I want to let everybody know that coming up on May 8th, I will be over at the Monocle hosting the singer-songwriter storytelling event that I've been doing. This is now, this is actually the second one. The first one went really well, and Laura over there at the Monocle said, let's make this a monthly thing, and so we're doing it. May 8th, I'll have Allie Vogler of the River Kittens, Leah Osborne of One Way Traffic, and Dan Johanning of The Wilderness. And so those three will be up on stage at the same time, all taking turns sharing songs and stories behind all these songs. And tickets are $7, can be purchased at eventbrite.com. And we're going to kick off everything about doors at 7:30, music at 8, should be over by 10. So come on out and have a great time with us at the Monocle over there in the Grove, right by the corners of Kings Highway and Manchester. So, also coming up a little bit later in the summer, July 8th, over at the Old Rock House, I will be hosting this year's 4th annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show. And I'm really pumped for this event. This is a big deal for me. These are always a lot of fun. And this year I've invited along my friends the Scandaleros, Old Souls Revival, the Sophisticated Babies, Matthias and the Pirates, and the Many Colored Death. And we're going to have a really great time over there at the Old Rock House. Tickets are $10 for that event. And it's kid-friendly. Come on out. Bring the whole family. Have a great time. It's going to be a Sunday fun day kind of event. We're going to start about 1 and music at 2. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see you all there. All those details for both events can be found on rockpaperpodcast.com. And, of course, events on the Facebook page. Click RSVP. I hope to see you all there. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in the .Zack building in the St. Louis area. Or you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They'll have new records in every Friday. I just had a great time hanging out with those guys for Record Store Day. I'm sure you can swing by and still pick up a couple of leftovers from that. You can also follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All kinds of records and tickets given away throughout the day over there. And be sure to check out the exclusive meet and greets and record signings they've been doing. So everything's at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is DJ Ma if you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
I'm forever indie, without a chain or a pendant. I hustle me, forget it. Born to live it, then I win it. Trophies to exhibit. Bananas, how I'm misunderstood. Probably why they slipping. Always going out of town, the biggest reason why they tripping. Or maybe because I am. That back slap from a man's hand with a light tan. Pressure from the mirror made of sand. Perspective of this land is much more than that rubber band. But in a way, snapping the rubber to the paper reminded me by any means I had to make it out without the clout. Despite the dark cloud, even in Kansas City, we can bring them out. Give them something to sing about. No weapon formed against this God shall prosper. Keep it persistent, poised and proper. It's been a done deal like the popper. Percy Miller posture, don't need the populace to make me popular. You can stare inside my ocular, can see me with binoculars on a monitor. Slang all your monikers, flip off the judge for the honor. Picked up to switch up, touring turn hiccup, live from the mix-up, welcome to the melting pot, where all we do is hug back black blocks and watch rich white shop as we smoke pot, plot, swap, glass half full, and I ain't spilled a drop, tells me who's more hip-hop, well I rock, too icky on the beat, knock, I'm at tip-top, till they drizz up, they sell dirt weed and no albums, we call that hoping I ain't wasting no time. Last man standing, embracing the shine. 39th Street, I'm the nigga to find. I guess it's a bunch of styles that all intertwine. Made my journey long, the longest ladder ever to climb. The climate makes it impossible to climb in a crime. No get out of jail free card when I'm in a bind. What's that high road looking like? My hindsight tunnel vision wouldn't trade the world for my keen intuition. Better chance of a police state than winning any sweepstakes. Arising from the underground, a thought or box of cheapskates. Energy permeates when the beat shakes. Apply pressure till the fuck boys' knees break. Fuck coincidence, now I'm gonna marry fate and run away with her before anybody try and hate. Fuck it, I think it's time to celebrate. Ego trip blowing up that bandwagon about to break. Gotta protect my family and culture regulate. Bars, OG, agent Gonzo, here to demonstrate. Educate, medicate, meditate, repeat. Visions of villains still killing it around my sleep. Anonymous, no need to remember me. True for sale, stunting on a shopping spree. This is history, NDG identity.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with DJ Moff.
What's up, hey. Internet world? Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
I'm good. This is cool, man. It's been kind of something I've been wanting to do for a long time, man.
Hey, man. I'm a fan, and thank you for always plugging our shows and everything, man. You stay on top of the local schedule like no one else, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I've talked about a lot on here, but that all started, man, because everybody was like, there's nothing to do in St. Louis, and I'm like, no, you're wrong, there's so much to do in St. Louis.
I hate when people talk like that. Yeah. It's like, man, do a little bit of research, sure. And you can find something to do every night of the week, really.
Yeah, I mean, I started doing the list, and I started running those things off, like, mainly on Friday and Saturday. But, like, and then as I got more involved in St. Louis, I realized, yeah, 7 days a week, there's live music going on.
Yeah.
And my list went from, like, 4 or 5 shows on a Friday night to, like, 40 shows on a Friday night.
I was going
to
say, there's you got to, like, hit the see more option now on Facebook to pull it down.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
The network has grown so much and just diving headfirst into St. Louis music scene, man.
Yeah,
so,
that's dope, dude. Appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, how long you've been a part of the St. Louis music
scene? Oh, wow. I think I started playing shows in high school with my first band. It was called Essence of Logic. Shout out to Jeff Nations. Yeah. I know he's listening probably. but we started playing shows when we were young, man. So I've been, man, playing shows for 15 years, 16 years, something like that.
That's cool.
So, yeah, man, we've been in it.
Yeah. Jeff's a great man. He's a good friend of the show.
He's a good dude, yeah.
Been on here a few times now.
Hell yeah. I saw that he was commenting on the post about me being on the show yesterday.
Yeah, what was...
just some inside joke shit, you know, something that no one would ever understand. Yeah. So, you know, shout out to the EOL boys if you're listening. Sure. You know, Rookie of the Year and all those guys.
Yeah. So you were part of that for a while.
And that was something we started in high school. Like, I basically bought turntables when I was, man, I don't know, 16, 17 years old. And DJing wasn't mainstream back then. So it was kind of like I was going out buying records. I was coming down to Vintage Vinyl at least once a week and spending all my money. You know, because I worked in retail at the time. I was at Best Buy.
Okay.
You know, and I would spend all the money I made at Best Buy on records, basically, and DJ equipment. And at the time, it's funny how things have changed, because all my friends at the time were like, what are you buying vinyl records for? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You know? Like, they didn't understand it until I started rocking house parties in high school. And everyone was like, oh, shit, we get this now. You know? Definitely were behind me at that point.
Where do you even get that idea though? Like, where do you find that turntables is
your
thing?
So I don't know. My house, I just came out with like a family that was all music fiends. You know, like I'm the youngest of four. My mom and dad were really big into collecting vinyl and they were into different music. Like, my mom was into, like, a lot of funk and soul, like, all the Motown era stuff, and, you know, James Brown and Curtis Mayfield and all that stuff. And then my dad was into, like, classic rock and Sergio Mendes and all that. And my older siblings were all, we were all like almost 5 years apart. So everyone had different musical taste.
Right.
So like my sister is the oldest. She was in like Prince, Michael Jackson, like all that stuff. My oldest brother, Jim, who lives in LA, he's like a well-known comp book artist. He's the one that introduced me to like hip hop, like the DJ, like turntablism culture, and like ska and punk rock and all that stuff. So he was a huge influence on me. And when he went to school, he started mailing me mixtapes. And he started sending me tapes of these DJs that he was hanging around with and what they were doing. And they actually ended up being some of the biggest DJs on the planet now, right, which is crazy. Shout out to my boy Z-Trip out there, Bomb Shelter DJs. And these guys were really doing stuff at the time that was unheard of in DJ culture. Like, they kind of like birthed the mashup movement,
right,
and all that, like way before it was a mainstream thing with Girl Talk and all those guys that became household names after that. And it just blew my mind that you could sample all this stuff and manipulate all these different genres of music, you know, and they were really using the turntable as a musical instrument. And I definitely gravitated towards that right away. Because even as a kid growing up, you know, I'd watch like UMTV Raps and see like Jam Master Jay from Run DMC, sure, like scratching. And I'd go, like, my parents would leave the house and I'd like go into one of the rooms where the, you know, the shitty turntable was, and I would scratch on one of the records and totally bust up the grooves and ruin everything. And, you know, I was always just a music head, man. And it kind of became, I kind of got disinterested in sports once I hit high school and I really wanted to do something more artistic. You know, yeah. I always drew and took like honors art courses and all that, but music became my thing. And I kind of gravitated towards like beat making and DJing basically.
Yeah. I was probably around that same time. I remember, like, you know, probably sophomore year or something like that. I'd start going to parties, maybe even before that, probably eighth grade, actually. I can recall, like, going to parties with some friends, and, like, I became the DJ.
Of course.
Because, like, I was the guy that had the most CDs. And,
sure.
Like, so, like...
Man, do you remember that? Like, bringing a CD wallet to house parties?
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely remember that. I would just come in and just eject the tray and just take over.
I do I do recall one memory in particular. It was right around that time. And I remember we were hanging out. And, like, of course, you know, eighth grade, everybody had their, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend kind of thing. And and they wanted a slow song. And I remember going through my CDs and, like literally the only slow song I think I had in my collection was Seal's Kiss from a Rose.
You got the Batman Forever soundtrack on you. Like,
so I had to like play that song like probably two or three times like that,
because
people kept wanting to, like, you know, oh, we're gonna play a slow song for
sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
And I was like,
because they just want to grind.
Yeah, right.
That's all it was.
So it was either that or like White Snakes. You know, or some, what was the name of that one?
Oh shit, I'm drawing a blank too, man.
Man,
the ballad that every 80s hair metal band had to have one ballad on each album.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I didn't really, you know, obviously that wasn't my thing. A lot of slow jams back then.
Hey, man.
It was, you know, so like that's when I like really kind of started like getting into a lot of music, listening to a lot of music. But I, you know, that's the thing. Like, it's cool that you actually took it and made it artistic, you know, you took that next step and like made it work for you.
But yeah, because like, I just was that guy in high school, especially when I got like a CD burner and like Napster came out that and LimeWire and all that shit. And I, you know, working at Best Buy, one of their incentives for me, they realized that to get me to sell warranties, they could, you know, coax me with, oh, if you sell warranty, you can pick out a CD.
Yeah.
So I would try to sell like a dozen warranties a day.
Yeah.
And I'd walk out with a stack of CDs, all brand new records, or filling in my gaps in my collection. And that became a huge, you know, driving force for me to do my job well over there. But I just started amassing a collection, and I ended up started being that guy that would just make like mixed CDs and like that, like almost a, you know, what a playlist would be now or whatever. But I would like burn multiple copies and pass them out or in the lockers in high school.
Yeah.
Because at the time, man, that was like when the crunk movement really hit in hip hop.
Right.
And for me, it's like I was listening to like the way like more left field, like backpack like underground movement, you know, in hip hop, like the, you know, Ruckus Records, Stone's Throw, Def Jux, Rhymesayers, like shit that had lyrical content, way better beats, you know, guys that were actual songwriters and actual MCs. And on the radio, when we would go to house parties on the weekend, it would just be like Lil Jon, yeah, all crunk shit, Nelly, 50 Cent. And that shit's all good and fine, but like I was always telling my friends, like, there's way more out there that's coming out right now and you guys are sleeping on it. Mm-hmm. So it was my mission to like pass out these mix CDs to get people on some of the stuff I liked. And
sure,
it kind of worked, but once I started DJing, that totally changed. That really opened it up.
Me and a buddy, we used to trade a lot of underground stuff like that too. We were both real big into some of that old hip hop and stuff, and like we started trading. And I mean, literally doing like the exact same thing that you were saying. Like, my buddy would come over, and he was like, Josh, and he was always like, "Man, I need something fresh. I'm going out, for the weekend. I want something new to listen to."
Oh, for sure.
And
yeah,
I'm like, "All right, let me see what I got. I got this, you know," and like started putting something together, and you know, stuff that was, you know, whatever 20 songs he never heard before, and he's like, "Man, I love it." You know, it's like, and that's the, so it was really a cool feeling, like when you can introduce somebody to new music that they really love.
And too, I feel like that's the age that a lot of people are more open-minded,
right?
Like they're seeking more stuff, and like when you're in like high school or college, you know, nowadays it's harder now. I feel like, you know, all of our friends have, you know, adult responsibilities, right, and they're not, you know, searching for this stuff as much as we are, and that's, I still take that role, you know, pretty important. You know, I still think it's, you know, a necessary role to have.
you mentioned Napster, and I was thinking about that just the other day, like when it took like a week and a half to download a song and stuff, you know.
You'd
like,
leave the room and come back 4 hours later, and it'd be at like 88%. You're like, yes! For one goddamn song.
Yeah, and now it's like, you know, instantaneous in Spotify. You can get, you know, every song in your pocket.
You can just leave your phone clear now. You can just stream everything. Yeah, it's a beautiful time for all that. Yeah. But even at the same time, we have these, you know, incredible computers in our pockets and these services like Spotify. But I still find it challenging to get people to even do their homework on some of this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And they act like they don't have access to it. It's like, yes, you do. Don't be fucking lazy. Hit the search button and type it in. It's not that hard, man. Yeah. Like, you know, but I don't know. I've always been one of those music guys that I like to know the history of the genres, where shit came from, who the artists that I'm listening to now, who their influences were coming up, and how that actually affected their music and their sound.
Yeah, I've discovered.
And I don't know.
Discovered so much music going backwards like that. Like,
yeah.
It's fun, man.
I just wish more people would do that, but you can't hold their hand either, right, you know. So
you're rocking house parties in high school.
Yeah.
You start scratching and doing your thing. And then
started making music with Essence of Logic after that. And we started like blowing up at our high school and just, you know, around those circles. And we started playing like all the major venues out here. Like we were on stage at the Pageant and throwing our own shows and drawing good crowds and everything. And we got respect from the local rock scene and, you know, it was always funny because I was like the one dude with like turntables and records and shit and samplers on stage, and all these rock dudes would just look at me like, "Ah, fuck." Here's another dude, like the dude from Linkin Park, who's just in the background not doing anything, you know. Right. And like, they'd see us play, and they actually would be like, "Oh shit, yeah, he's actually contributing and doing something. This is cool," you know. And it was a hurdle to get over for a while, man. The sound men would all bury me in the mix as they just didn't give a shit about mixing a DJ at a rock show.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a hurdle to get over, but we got over that. And then just started making hip hop. I mean, it's funny because like DJing at the time, it's like you had to be 21 to play a lot of clubs and stuff. So I was too young to even do a solo set anywhere. So that's why I found an outlet doing these different like rock shows and, you know, all these different showcases and opportunities we had. And then sometimes they'd let me play on my own. And it was, that was when I would really, you know, kick it into high gear and take it, you know, super serious. And then once I was old enough, kind of started gravitating towards the hip hop scene and started working with a collective out here called the Frozen Food Section. Shout out to my man Jay Toth. And then Frozen Food Section plugged me into my group Earthworms.
Yeah.
and Earthworms. We had a great stint there. We put out like 3 full-length albums that were really well-received nationwide. And we ended up doing a USO tour for the government and touring all the time. And like it was, Earthworms was a big deal for me for a while. And
What's crazy is like, I've kind of been trying to do my homework and rediscovering so much of this. So I didn't really get into like St. Louis music a lot till maybe 20 something or whatever. Like my friends from school started playing original music and they were like, "Hey, come on out to Pops and on a whatever." And that was kind of my introduction into like started getting into a lot more of the local music. And so I missed a big chunk of stuff like. I just wasn't going to a lot of live shows and I never got to see The Urge until they got back together later on. Everyone got their old records and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, you just, the list goes on. And but since I've gone through and done my homework, you know, I've these guys all become friends now too.
Of course. I know you've interviewed most of them.
But along that way, like, you know, when we're talking Napster and all this kind of stuff, I remember, I think I was looking for some Urge or whatever it was, and some of Steve's solo records, and Earthworms did a track with Steve.
Yeah, we did,
and that popped up, and so I remember getting Earthworms before I knew any of you guys.
Okay, yeah,
and I remember like, oh, dude, this is cool. Like, you know, I was digging it. Listening to these records, and like, it's just kind of crazy to think now, like, you know, getting a. Yeah, Matthias and all, you know, whatever, all these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, me and Matthias are still cool. We'll share stages still every once in a while, and we still talk and grab beers every once in a while. Right. And it's kind of crazy, man. Yeah, the song we did with Steve is called Get Up. It was on our second full-length album. It's called Bottleful of Bourbon. Yeah. Was the name of that record.
Get up! It's our turn in the sun. Nightcrawlers no longer burn in the sun. Get up and respawn, react, and put the St. Louis Underground on your map. Get up! Cause everybody came to get down. Yo, that's how we made our name in this town. Rise up! Feel the burn from your thighs up. Worms rock a mic, talk till they turn the lights up. And if you came to rock the spot, didn't get the mic, you could blame my entourage. We want the fame like drama does, just can't stomach the game, makes me vomit us. We got the name and got the buzz, big frame blocking the plate, they ain't got no runs. Push play, you rock with us, go and tell the others, then pray for the populace.
Rise up, cause the early bird gets the worm with the earthworm.
Rise up,
cause the early bird gets the worm with the earthworm. Cause the early bird gets to burn with the earthworm.
Dim lights, dim sum, her name.
Get up!
Japanese, hot like propane. Same thing, new night, same lights, her name.
Get up!
Took a walk in Central Park. Made out, passed out, pissing the bush, butt ass naked. Looks like you're walking. Night crawler, not going home yet, but I haven't placed my bet. So I place it on Cheesy. You're like listening to Jeezy in your basement getting wet. Next week, brought out the broom. Need a new team, need a new hip. All that sex in the new whip. Percy P in the deck. Just past 8, yeah, I'm super late.
Rise up,
cause the early bird gets the worm with the earthworm.
Rise up,
cause the early bird gets the worm with the earthworm.
Rise up,
cause the early bird gets the worm with the earthworm.
Get up, yawn and I stretch. The gift in the sand like the dog couldn't catch.
B-boys, get up.
The sun on the unbeaten path after the true soul. Follow while you gather what I've scattered and strewn.
So get up.
Like when you catch the name riding on the side of a train, thundering down the tracks out for the fame.
So get up.
And go for the grip when you smoking and split. Flipping a verbal 360 switch over the hip. Yo, making gnosis, it's the host with the big cojones. Using rhythm to induce this hypnosis. My wise guy wisdom is absorbed through osmosis. Ferocious approach to the culture. Fly like a job turkey vulture. Soar like I'm supposed to. Roar like a lion, breathe fire that I toast ya. Come to from my coma. Then I start to wild out like them big cats on Nova.
Rise up,
cause the early bird gets the worm with the earthworm.
Rise up, Cause the early bird gets the burn with the earthworm.
Rise up!
Cause the early bird gets the burn with the earthworm.
And we shot a music video for that song actually in Los Angeles with my brother and his crew. It might still be on YouTube. I don't know where it's being hosted these days.
I just thought it was fun to like stumble upon it through the rabbit hole of the internet and stuff. So.
Well, it's crazy because that song has a Fela Kuti sample, and we knew that Steve was, you know, always. I've talked to like Afrobeat records with him in the past and stuff, and we were like, maybe we can ask him, see if he'll sing the chorus. We might as well ask, you know. And he said, yeah, and he killed it. And it totally made the track. It was the highlight.
Yeah. He, you know, man, like, you know, I look at him, for me, like, he's a rock star. You know?
Oh, for sure. You know, me too. Like, I grew up on the Urge. Right. Like, all my older brothers, like, passed down that music to me at a very young age.
For sure.
And but it's like, even when I've opened up for them, like, I was doing all their holiday shows the last couple years of the pageant. And I would come out and open, and, just, you know, they'd let me come into their dressing room and hang out. I brought the cassette of one of their albums that came out in like the late 80s called Magically Delicious. And it's like a cassette that was handed down to me from one of my brothers, and even Steve was like, dude, you have one of those? Holy shit, man. Like,
sure.
It's like, dude, the Urge was a staple in the Ma Food House.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, it's just like so cool for me that like now, like I just ran into him last weekend out, and like, you know, it's just fun that he's a buddy now. And like, you know, it's like for a long time I've like, you know, trying not to fan out too hard, and
for
like,
sure,
you know, but like now it's just cool. Like, you know, he walks, hey, what's up, Shane? It's like, and that to me is like the coolest thing, man.
Yeah,
like,
they're stand up guys, man, and you know,
all those guys at the Urge.
And wish them continued success.
Yeah,
hope Steve's Hot Dogs takes over the world, and you know,
sure. So I'm sure, like, but at the time, I mean, you know, getting Steve on a track, like, I'm sure.
Oh, it was a big deal. Yeah. I was super excited about that, man. That was a milestone moment for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, and all those records were well received, man. Like that CD release show we did for that record in particular was nuts. And we like the News Channel 5 came out and covered it, and it just became, Earthworms became this thing where we just started like this onslaught of winning all the RFT awards and touring and linking up with all these guys. And we ended up making some songs of all these dudes in hip hop that I've grew up listening to. And we ended up getting them on, you know, on Wax, which was great. And you know, it was a fun ride. You know, those are my brothers.
Well, did it help too? The like, because I mean, I don't know. I don't want to like speak out of place, but like, it didn't seem like St. Louis didn't really have a lot to offer for hip hop. You know, like, did it help that at all?
Like, I would disagree with that, to be honest with you, because there was a lot of guys that came before us that were still active and killing it. Like F5 Records, for instance, DJ Crucial's label was releasing nonstop vinyl like they still do. All the artists on there, you know, were spread out from Chicago, STL, different cats. You had the Soul Tide movement, which was like a collective of like 25 cats, and it's like some of those guys are the kings at STL hip hop now. Tef Poe, Black Spade, you know, all those dudes. Nato Khalif came from that clique. And, you know, then you had guys like Perfect Strangers and all these different dudes. And, of course, you know, rest in peace, Cat Davis, Bits and Pieces. I was lucky enough to come up with him because he actually worked at Best Buy with me for a little while. And that was a funny story because he's regarded as, you know, probably the greatest MC to ever come out of St. Louis. And his life was taken, you know, way too short. But I think we just celebrated the 15-year anniversary of his death. We had a party at 2720 a couple months ago with that, and it was like a big family reunion. But it was crazy because Kat, at the time when I was working at Best Buy, they didn't have like their own cell phone department at the time. So they had wireless reps from all the different cell phone companies that would be stationed at each store. So Cat worked for VoiceStream Wireless at the time and was just stationed at the store. And me and him would always talk hip hop and shit. And I was always recording on cassette before I would go out on Friday nights, the live hip hop night at Blueberry Hill, The Science. It was broadcasted live on 88.1. And that was all the DJs I grew up listening to, from, you know, Fly DX and K9 and Needles and Crucial and Chili C and all the homies. And they would all spin live and play all the hip hop that I was obsessed with. So I would literally record it on cassette and leave and go out on Friday night and at least get like the first hour of the night recorded. And they constantly kept playing this group, Bits and Pieces. And it was a track called City Is Us, produced by DJ Crucial. Needles did the artwork on the 12-inch vinyl. And they were constantly playing it. And I was like super proud at the time. You know, I was like, dude, yeah, there's this STL hip hop group called Bits and Pieces. They're the shit, da da da. And Kat and I ended up going to lunch every day, every shift we worked. We were talking hip hop, this and that. And I casually was just like, played that tape one day, and like the Bits and Pieces song came on. He's like, oh yeah, that's me, man. And I was just like, what the fuck, man? We've been hanging out for months and you never told me that you're in Bits and Pieces? That you're Kat from Bits and Pieces. All right. And then after that, we became really good friends. And I ended up, you know, going to the studio sessions with them all the time and hanging out with him and his brother Jai Davis. What up, man? And it was just such a small world type situation, you know? Sure. And like, but I'm really glad I started in that era of hip hop, man, because like all those dudes, like I was looking up to all of them and I ended up becoming peers with all of them and, you know, putting them on later on different shows and showcases and stuff and backing some of them up live and making records with them. And, you know, but the scene, man, like there was a lot going on. But Earthworms definitely had some momentum out the gate because I had a younger crowd that I was bringing the shows from, like all the work I did with Essence of Logic. And then Matthias, of course, was killing it for years with Jive Turkey and then transitioned to the Core Project.
Right.
And Kama was one of the original MCs of Core Project since day one. And everyone knows Core Project's hustle. Some of their stickers are still around the town after whatever, like 15, 20 years or whatever it's been. So, It was a good melting pot of guys from different corners of the scene, and we all kind of brought something to the table. And it, you know, I thought we made good records, and our stage show was always cool, and the fans were always backing us up and supporting us, and we got to do some awesome stuff, man. But like everything, you know, things fizzle out after a little while, and you move on to the next thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Would you guys? I mean, there's, you know, we mentioned The Urge and, you know, there's Modern Day Zero just did a reunion.
Yeah.
But all these guys, a lot of these groups kind of come back around after, you know, 10, 15, it's 20 true. Years and something. Is you think we'd ever get another Earthworm show together? Or?
Good question. I don't know, to be honest with you. Kama lives in California now, and Black Patrick is still in St. Louis. I haven't seen him or talked to him in a while, but he's had a few babies since, and I'm sure he'd be down. It would just be a matter of logistics trying to make it work, and we definitely would have to get in the studio together and practice and run through the catalog. But I'm not opposed to it. It'd just be a matter of, you know, who's willing to put it together and who is in demand or whatever. We disbanded in, like, I guess it was 2010, 2011, so... Maybe in a couple more years, we'll do a 10-year reunion or something.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
But it was crazy because our last album, our third record, was called Midnight at the Capricorn. And that was put out, we were on F5 Records, DJ Crucial's label. And then we jumped on to the label that I'm currently a part of now. I've still been a part of it. It's called Indie Ground Entertainment, INDY Ground. And that's run by Kansas City Steady P. And I've been making records with Steady since a couple years before Earthworm was disbanded. I started working with Steady at the same time.
Oh, nice.
And me and him started catching on like wildfire. We toured like Mad Men for years and put out, four or five full-length albums, multiple mixtapes, EPs, music videos out the ass. Check out Indie Ground on YouTube. We got a ton of stuff you can check out on there. And on iTunes and Spotify and all that, you can check out most of me and Steady's catalog. But it was funny because Earthworm's third album was actually Steady picked it up and put it out. So we got basically inducted into Indie Ground, and I was already on Indie Ground as a solo artist. So that kind of basically that almost made my transition from Earthworms to Steady.
And
the other guys on Indie Ground, who I'm still active with. You got Far Out and J-Bomb. And when we're all together, we go by Brett Gretzky. We got those projects. And then there's been a bunch of guys throughout the years. You know, the roster's changed and, you know, gone through an evolution. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Steady, man, he started the label, man, over like 12, 13 years ago. We've released like probably over 40 full-length albums on Indie Ground. So.
Wow.
There's a lot of work there that I've done, and, you know, and tours and whatnot, and, you know, it's, again, like I said, it's, things just keep, you know, one chapter closes, you evolve into the next project or, you know, person you're going to work with for a while, and Steady and I became, like, best friends, and just the energy we had on stage, I never really, like, had that with another artist. Like, me and him just clicked real hard, and, like, you can definitely tell on stage, there's, like, something about it, like the chemistry we have, and it's, for me, it's, we're kind of bringing it back to the roots of like the old school hip hop days, where it's like a fucking MC and DJ combo.
Yeah.
But you know, I do vocals and do all the beat stuff, and he, you know, it's like, it's a very interactive show. I'm not just hitting a button and standing there behind a guy rapping over his own vocals. Like, he's spitting live.
Yeah.
We're in it, you know, and it's, we have a great following around the country, and people have been super supportive and tattooing our logo on their bodies and stuff and all this. It's crazy,
yeah,
man. It's wild. And then we took a couple years off recently. He had twins.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to Mars and Dexter. Little dudes. So he's had his hands full, and he's been running the label, and he's really stepped into a role as like a huge curator in Kansas City. Like, he throws all the hip hop shows in Kansas City, like all the national shows and local shows. It's got an Indie Ground eyeball on there. Steady's probably behind it. Like, he's a talent buyer, he's a manager. That dude does everything, and he does it well.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those guys that's just like, God damn, man. Like, he's just good at everything, and his actual work ethic and hustle is like, no one compares. You know what I mean? So it was, I think that was another reason why me and him clicked, is like, I'm kind of that way too.
Sure.
I'm nonstop. I always have like five different projects in the fire and all these other shows and things going on. And it's just like, I've always been that way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I know I can relate to that, man.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I just, you know, things get stagnant.
Sure.
And that's when people sit around and go, St. Louis, man. It's like, oh, shut the fuck up and work.
Right.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to hear that shit.
Let's get some of these dates out. You do play around St. Louis a lot.
Yeah.
And what we got, Motown Mondays.
Yeah, Motown on Mondays is still kicking. We're doing, right now, I think we might transition soon back into twice a month, but we're doing once a month right now. So that's every third Monday of the month. Currently, it's at Moonrise Hotel. And we got a great roster of DJs. That's me, DJ Needles, Uptown, V-Tom, Hal Greens. So all these guys that, you know, we just play incredible, you know, soul music and funk and whatnot. And it's just a great party, man, you know, and it's, people think that, like, I started Motown on Mondays, and that's far from true.
Right.
It's a actual national party that goes on. There's about 19 cities in the U.S. that do Motown on Mondays, and, yeah, if you're listening somewhere else right now, look it up, because it's a badass party, and if there's one in your town, I highly recommend it, and it's just a good vibe, man. It's like no other party I've ever thrown, because there's everyone from 21 to, like, 65 years old.
Sure.
And everyone's drinking and vibing out. And, like, I've never had a party where everyone's, like, on the dance floor smiling and laughing and having a good time together. And you got all these people from different backgrounds and age groups and stuff. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Motown on Mondays is something to check out for sure.
And Pinup Bowl on Tuesdays?
Yeah, been there for years. That's my neighborhood bar in the Loop. Shout out to Zach and all the crew. Been doing Pinup Bowl forever. If you want to hear me get weird, come out to Pinup Bowl on Tuesdays.
Start Bar, you said a lot of those Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, yeah. Start Bar on the weekends. Right downtown, right by Busch Stadium. Just a couple blocks away. And that's just a crazy party atmosphere. It's an arcade bar, so if you're a gamer and you like to play, like, you know, 80s and 90s video games, or arcades at least, come out and get down, and we're always playing crazy music, and they got drink specials and people wilding out, and Star Power's a blast, man. It's kind of crazy. I'm still at Atomic Cowboy at least one or two Fridays a month. I've been there for over 10 years. Wow. Still rocking out in the Grove.
And,
and then my monthlies in other cities are about to kick in. I got my Kansas City monthlies about to start back up in May. So I'll be out there playing at the Riot Room. And Hush is a new club out there that I'll be playing. I'll also call it that's going to be once a month. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, a bunch of different rap shows and different stuff with the guys on my label.
Yeah.
You know.
So. You said Atomic, and you'll be at Atomic for the Riverfront Times showcase, the RFT showcase, on June 17th. And
I think I'm closing out the inside. I play 11 to 1 a.m. in the lounge inside. So, I typically do a top 40 style set there. It's a more of a dance party or whatever. But since this is the RFT showcase, I'm kind of going to do more of a performance based set there. Because, you know, those are different. Like me actually using the turntables as an instrument, putting on a show, not just playing songs for you, you know, that are familiar and people are dancing. Like I'm going to put on a show on that date.
Gearing up for that, like say that, you know, whatever that day or night before, whatever it is, you're planning that kind of a performance set, like you're saying. Is like, do you just start like picking through the records, like you want to, I want to do this one tonight? And
it depends on what it is, the actual booking itself, like what the vibe of the show is, but I have different little pocket routines that I'll go into, and then I have all the stuff that I did for Red Bull when I competed in all those Red Bull freestyle competitions.
Yeah.
So I can always rely on going to those, because those are like DJing in hyper mode. You know, it's just a very hands-on performance-based set that it's, you know, it's a lot of intricate puzzle pieces getting put together and scratching and beat juggling and all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what I'm going to do with this RFT one yet, but it'll be a, you know, a mixture of all that stuff probably. Yeah. So,
Before all that, one other date we want to get out there too. Recently, you guys, I guess maybe what, at least a year, I guess, my Posse and Effects been going?
Actually, we're on almost 2 years,
two years now.
So my Posse and Effect is my Beastie Boys cover band project, tribute project that we do. We got a roster of all these really dope musicians from, you know, different pockets of the scene. Everybody in the band is part of like three other bands.
Yeah.
So it's hard to lock us all down, but when we get together, it's a pretty wild show. And, you know, we all just came up loving the Beastie Boys, so we try to pay tribute in the best way possible.
Yeah, man. I guess the first time I caught that was the Wayback Point Fest show.
Yeah.
I guess at least a year ago, whatever it was.
Two summers ago. We did two in a row, the last two summers.
So I guess it was the first one, I think it was.
We were still, like, we actually just added added Matt Bosler, our newest bass player at the time. So I think that might have been his first show, actually. Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, shit, we're in front of, like, 4,000 people, and we're, you know, we're still kind of green, you know what I mean? But we got a great response.
It was
cool.
I mean, I love Beastie Boys, and, like, obviously, you know, I never got to experience it live, unfortunately. But what you guys do is just so much fun. The live show is just great.
Thanks, man.
And, like, obviously, having the MCs, but then what you guys are having a live band to it also.
This is
a lot of fun, man.
It's great. I mean, and it's, you know, it's they're just a fun band to cover, because at least the first five albums are all very different from each other, even the way they were made, the way they sound, everything. So it's actually fun to explore how these guys create it, because we really try to recreate these songs from scratch the way that they were on the album, and we're really trying to, you know, actually, you know, execute those at 100, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's fun going through and picking all these samples apart. I'll track down all the original records and try to really use the samples the way they are in the album. And some of the stuff, especially from like Paul's Boutique, there's like 15 samples on one fucking song. So it's a lot, you know. And trying to sync it with a live band is tough, man, because you know how bands are. It's like, you know, sometimes you might play a song super fast just because you're nervous and you're, you know, or whatever the case is. So it's a challenge, but it's a lot of fun. And recently I incorporated, I control all the live visuals now too.
Oh, wow.
We just started doing that on New Year's Eve, actually. So now that's a big element where we have like a big movie theater size screen on stage, and I'm using Serato DJ and using the video plugin and manipulating their music videos and different animations and all this stuff. So that's a whole other element of the show. And we do all the different wardrobe changes, and it's like a theatrical big blowout concert experience. So like, if you haven't seen us, My Posse in Effect, definitely come out. Especially if you're in St. Louis, it's May 19th at Old Rock House is our next gig.
Yeah, great venue. They've been super supportive for my show, and like, I enjoy
good people.
Yeah, good people over there, man. So yeah, it'll be a fun night.
Hell yeah!
And, hopefully, I know you guys are starting to dabble a little more on the road and stuff too.
Yeah,
so you guys may be coming to a city near you.
I was gonna say, yeah, we're kicking in high gear in May. We got a couple different things coming up, and I've been working pretty hard on booking us, you know, throughout the rest of the year. We took a little break just because everyone was super busy after New Year's.
Yeah.
We're back now, man. Yeah. So we're about to kick it into high gear, and yeah, we got some stuff on the horizon that will probably be in the area. Just myposseineffect.com, I believe.
There you go.
So yeah.
Yeah, we got a Facebook page for My Posse in Effect and DJ Moff's solo page. So
I'm easy. I'm just at DJ Moff, MAHF, on all social media, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that, you know. Pretty easy to find. SoundCloud.
Yeah. You're also another big show for the summer. You are back at Atomic on July 20th. With RJD2.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Atomic, Drew Jameson busted his ass to lock that show in.
Another hustler, man.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, man. Yeah. He's got a lot of good stuff coming to Atomic. Yeah. Like, check out the Atomic concert calendar throughout the summer on the patio stage. It's going to be, there's a lot of different options if you're a music head. It's
every week he's been dropping some big exclusives.
Exactly, yeah. Man, I'm proud of him, man. Yeah. It's going to be a good summer. But yeah, RJD2, man, I'm very excited about that because I came up on RJ. I mean, I think his first album dropped the year I bought turntables, and it became, you know, I'm really big into this, almost, it's almost like a subgenre of hip hop, or it's like, you know, most people call it like down tempo or trip hop or lo-fi, or, you know, there's different genres for it, but it's almost like a DJ producer genre or subgenre in the hip hop branch. That doesn't get a lot of love, but like, it's a huge influence on me. Like, DJ Shadow changed my entire life, his first album.
Yeah.
Like, it just is unlike anything you'll ever hear. If you haven't heard Introducing by DJ Shadow, definitely pick that up. It's probably my favorite album of all time. But that whole movement doesn't get a lot of love. It's really big in like the UK and overseas and stuff, but like, people are aware of it out here, but I, you know, not as much as I would like them to be. But RJ's first album dropped, and they were all calling him the next DJ Shadow. And of course, I was like, who the hell is this guy? I picked the album up, and it was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And he just went on an onslaught. All the stuff he did with Blueprint. He did an MC DJ duo called Soul Position with Blueprint from Columbus, Ohio. I think they're both from there. And it's funny because years later, I ended up going on all these tours with Blueprint. We became buddies.
Nice,
so
yeah.
It's kind of full circle.
I think I met Blueprint through a... an Atmosphere show.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
he was on Rhyme Series for a while.
And it was I don't know, one of them nights he was opening it, and I met him, and super cool guy too.
Al's a good dude. His DJ Rare Groove is a good buddy of mine out in Cincinnati. They have a really dope night called Selecta's Choice out there, where they just let DJs do whatever the hell they want. It's like a grown up crowd, and it's a blast. I've played it a few times.
Nice.
But yeah, RJ, man, it's his first time at St. Louis in over a decade, easy.
Wow.
The last time he played here was in the Gargoyle at Wash U.
Right.
And it's like, I went there, and I was probably 21 or something, you know. And it's been a while, so I don't know what his sets sound like or what he's doing these days. He's been dropping great full-length albums over the years.
Yeah.
But definitely come out and support that. We're going to be out on the patio jamming. Alexis Tucci will be opening, and it'll be good.
Yeah.
I said Alexis Tucci, and my Alexa on the counter just lit up. They're listening, man. They're listening to all of us.
Technology, man.
Right?
You, let's, do you have,
any advice for somebody wanting to get into DJing?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, I guess there's a couple different things. One is what I always tell people when they say, I want to get into DJing, da-da-da-da. I have to ask them, like, number one, what kind of DJ are you trying to be? Mm-hmm. You trying to do EDM? You trying to be a DJ producer? You trying to be a turntablist hip-hop DJ like me, where you're scratching and doing all the, you know, actual instrument style stuff? Are you trying to be a club DJ? Are you trying to play electronic music? Are you, what are you trying to do?
Right.
You know, because there's all these different avenues. And then I got to ask, what's your budget, basically? Because when I started, man, it was just turntables, a mixer, and vinyl. That was it. You know, and then like the CDJ turntables came out, and then we got into the computer stuff with Serato and Traktor and all these different, you know, virtual DJ and all the software stuff. So the software made it so much more accessible from when I was coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, because I have to tell these dudes, I'm like, man, when I was coming up, every song I wanted to play, I had to go find that record and buy it. And track it down like a fucking archaeologist or some shit, you know. And now it's just like, you hit a button, download, and you got it.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, how much, what kind of DJ you want to do depends on like what kind of gear you want to do too. If you're an EDM DJ, you might not be going for the equipment setup that I have because you're not going to be scratching and doing all this stuff. You just need something to trigger your tracks and do EQ mixing and all that. So you might be able just to get a controller for a couple $100 or whatever. So it's, I always got to like kind of grill them, and it's almost like a job application. Right. I need to like make one and be like, I can give you advice once I know all the different factors that I know what you're trying to do.
And I need 3 references.
Right, right. Yeah, man. But yeah, man, I mean, as far as advice goes, I mean, obviously, you know, use social media to its fullest potential. You know, be active on Instagram and all that other stuff. Shoot as much video as you can. Definitely get your graphics up. There's a lot of people who are lazy that don't make their own. Like make your stuff look professional. Like, hire a graphic designer. Or if you got a buddy that's really good at Photoshop, throw him a couple bucks. Make your shit look pro. You know what I mean? Like, that really helps.
Yeah.
Hire photographers to shoot you, whatever it takes. But practice your craft. Really know how to work different rooms, different sized rooms, and rooms that are full of different demographics of people. Sometimes I get thrown to the wolves at like a Riverfront Times event or something, and I'm playing in front of 500 people, but they're from every walk of life and every age group, and it's like, you can't, I can't sit there and play a bunch of like hood hip hop shit and expect a 50-year-old person from the suburbs to get down. They're not gonna do that. It's not gonna happen. So you gotta be able to read a room. Is very important. It's one of the most important parts of DJing, honestly, is being able to be like, when you're playing a song, you kind of do a little survey of the room, like, all right, this group of people just freaked out when I played this West Coast hip-hop shit from the 90s. But then this group over here was freaking out over all this trap music I was playing. And then these girls right here want to hear some Bruno Mars or modern pop shit or, you know, or whatever. And then we got a group of older folks in the back that wanted me to mix in some Motown or some shit. So it's like, you got to figure out how to, like, make this concoction happen where you can please everyone in the room but still do you. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge. But at the same time, if you know how to read people fast, the faster you know how to read a room, the faster you can lock them in and they're yours and they're in your back pocket. So that's really important. And just practice, man. Just practice. Don't be a clone of everyone else that's out there. That's the one con of all this DJ equipment coming out and where there's all these different options on how to DJ now is it's so cheap to get into DJing now. If you have a laptop, you can buy a little device for a couple $100 and now you're going to try to get a club gig. And, you know, at the same time, it's just like, man, master your craft, or at least try to. Like, just don't be another guy that hits a button on a pre-made mix and you're sitting there texting during your set and shit and you can look totally disinterested. It's like, that's just whack, man. Right. We don't need more DJs like that. We don't. Mm-hmm. It's oversaturated. Insanely oversaturated, actually. Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know. That's why I still do the type of DJing I do. Some of my peers make fun of me that I haven't bought a controller yet, or I don't, and I'm still lugging heavy ass turntables around and all that. I'm like, that's my instrument, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, you guys can do the cheap route and the fast route and the lazy route. That's fine. That ain't me, man. It just isn't. You know, like, I want to flex in front of people. I want to, you know, show them something.
Sure.
And that's when people come out there, I usually get compliments. I mean, even if I'm just doing a club gig where I'm kind of pigeonholed into playing music I might not necessarily even love that much. You know, but it's like you come out to a show when I'm like competing in one of these Red Bull things, it's a full-blown performance. Like, I made all the pieces of that set from scratch. And, you know, yeah. So there's all these different avenues, man. But, yeah, just... I don't know. Try to be unique in a oversaturated landscape, if that makes sense. It's a lot, but
yeah,
you know.
You do you have like a one go to track, like you know, like I know my buddy Spanky does dueling piano stuff, and he gets the same couple of requests. People love people love the Wagon Wheel and the you know
was it Piano Man and Billy Joel and Elton John all night,
right? Yeah. Well, it's funny when they say Elton John's Piano Man, like, you know, they stuff like that. People get the
and then it's just like, do I waste the effort of even correcting him? Right. You know what I mean? Like, they've been drinking. Are they going to fight me for correcting them?
and you know, of course, people love their Journey.
Sure.
But do you have you know, when
the
you're
drunk sing along classic rock songs and all that?
Do you have a, when you're getting into it, like, do you just have that certain track that you know you can throw on and just gonna...
That kind of depends on the climate of what's going on in modern music.
Right.
So sometimes there's always that, like, hot new shit that everyone wants.
Yeah.
So there's always that. You always can go to that. In certain hip-hop shows, I got certain stuff I want to go to. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of, you know, 90s golden era stuff. Yeah. You know, everything from, you know... Tribe Called Quest and Pete Rock and Beastie Boys and everything that we mentioned, like the Death Row movement, like Snoop and Dre and all that stuff. So just, again, you almost got to read the room. So I can't even say like one particular song, honestly.
Yeah.
It would almost be like, what kind of party are we talking about?
Right.
You know? But yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah. That stuff amazes me that people, I mean, like, yeah, they're good songs, but it's like how many people like just want to hear that stuff over and over. Like, that's the stuff that gets me, like how people don't want to step out of something.
That's what also worries me about like the modern hip hop movement. Like this kind of, I know people hate it being labeled like mumble rap and all that shit, but man, like a lot of those records and artists are incredibly disposable. Like, their shelf life lasts for, like, 6 months, and then no one gives a shit about that song anymore.
Right,
and then if I'll play that song, people look at me like, really? That ain't hot anymore. Yeah. It's like if you're playing for a bunch of 21-year-olds at a top 40 club, like, I gotta play a lot of that stuff. Or if you're in a college town, you gotta play that stuff. But even the shit that they were on a couple months ago, they look at it like it's the oldest thing they've ever heard in their life. And it just makes me realize, like, man, these guys don't have lasting star power like it used to be.
Well, that's any pop. Yeah, I got friends that do cover band stuff, and they'll spend weeks learning a song or whatever, you know, and they get it, like, tight, and they go out and play it, and then all of a sudden, that's the old shit.
Right.
You know, nobody wants to hear that anymore.
And those genres, like, at least pop culture genres, even probably the new pop country shit, I don't pay attention to, but I'm sure the same rules apply.
Yeah.
Like it's cutthroat, man. It really is, but it's funny to me.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, records used to last, and it's like, even if you think about it, since the early 2000s, like, what hip-hop artists are still relevant? Like, Kanye, Jay-Z still doing shit.
Sure.
Like, I don't see these dudes lasting to the next decade. I just don't. Like you know, I'm just basing that off as a DJ, the response I get on some of this stuff. It's like, man, people could give a shit. They don't even know the artist's names anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. And they barely know the song titles. They come out to me and they're like, you know that song? And like, some of them will try to, like, will rap lyrics to me drunk in my face. And I'm like, I'm trying to perform right now. I don't have time to fucking hear you do karaoke in my ear right now. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, man. I'm like, and it's just, you know, some of the stuff they want is purely designed just for, like, the Friday and Saturday night, like, turn up.
Sure.
It's like just turn up music. It's the dumbest shit that's ever existed. There's no lyrical content. The song has a two-word repetitive chorus. And the beat is bland, but it's something that's funny or, you know, quippy.
Yeah, it's kind of catch,
and it's catchy, and it's just like, man, again, those are the songs 3 months later, no one wants to hear that shit.
Sure.
You mentioned at the beginning, you've been having this passion for introducing people to new music and stuff, and that's the whole reason you're still doing it today.
For sure.
But you were saying you might be wanting to tap into doing your own podcast.
Yeah, so. I might be entering your world soon, man. I know that's a crazy world. I'm about to cut my teeth. But yeah, I used to be the program director of a radio station here for a couple of years. Me and Matthias were together, actually. It was called Riverfront Radio. And it was kind of ahead of its time, looking back. It was almost like a social media, internet radio station hybrid type website thing.
Yeah.
And so we had an active radio station that I ran, and I would actually, provide all the content as far as music and everything. And then I hired different people to do different blocks of radio shows, all different genres, down to sports talk, to comedy, to metal, to hip-hop, to rock, and everything in between. And it was a great movement there for a while. Like, there was a couple solid years. I got to interview some awesome people, and we had a blast doing it. But I missed doing my radio show, just playing dope, good shit that people is under people's, it's under the radar for most people. That aren't sitting here like me and you going through record pools and all these new releases and all this stuff. They only see the 10 songs that are in the current rotation on every DJ's playlist at every radio station. And it's like, I miss providing that outlet. So I really want to get into the podcast world. I've almost done finishing my first episode. I think I got a name for it. A tentative title, at least. It's going to be called Moff's Music Machine.
All right.
And it's just going to be me playing stuff that I really can't get away with at playing on like Friday and Saturday nights anymore, because people just want to hear what they want to hear and they want to dance to what they want to dance to. Mm-hmm. They want familiar territory. And I get that, but I'm not riding around in my car listening to Bad and Bougie and all this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I want to play people the stuff that like I'm personally vibing out to and I'm really a fan of just as a music fan. Yeah. And so that's kind of what it is. I'm playing a lot of different... there's going to be a lot of hip-hop just because I'm a hip-hop DJ. So that's going to be the backbone of the show. But I'm playing funk records. I'm playing reggae records. I'm playing all kinds of stuff. Sure. If it's just something I'm feeling, I'm going to play it. And it's just like, man, as a music fan and a total head for all this knowledge, like, I just want to, share my knowledge of all this stuff. And so I'm going to be on the mic. I'm going to be talking about these different records and what these artists are doing now, or what this album, the new album's about, whatever. But it's all going to be new music that you might not be aware of that's dope.
Yeah. I love it, man. I'm excited.
But, thanks, dude.
I mean, that's...
I hope people are into that concept. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I'm totally open for feedback, so feel free to hit me up on that.
I mean, that's essentially, like, what's cool about podcasting and about, a YouTube channel or whatever, the different platforms, because, like, it may not be like everything, but it's like, I like what you're doing. Like, I'm gonna subscribe to that. Like,
right.
It's like, when I started this show, like, I built this out of nothing. I was just a fan of music and wanted to share music, and then like now people like care what I say or whatever.
Yeah,
or,
they value your input and they'll follow you on if you recommended this record, they might go to music record shop and buy it or something. You know what I mean? That's an awesome feeling. There needs to be more people pushing that.
Right. It's just cool that you can like just start a thing, It's
Even my old buddies from high school, I run into this all the time, and I talk to them because they know how passionate I am about music, and they used to use my recommendations and go out and buy records, or and now they come out to me and they're just like, man, there's no good hip hop anymore. And I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. Yeah. I hate that. Like, no, that's not true at all. Actually, there's been an onslaught of incredible records even since the beginning of 2018.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just because you're lazy and don't want to like look for it, don't say a blanket statement like that. That's not true. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, there's enough shit even going on in St. Louis and Kansas City that could tide you over if you really wanted to care about it.
Yeah.
But getting to support local music is a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But so that's another reason why I'm just like, man, I want to do this podcast and hopefully people are into it. My one concern is, if people tune in and they expect me to actually be DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this isn't about that. Like, my mixes and all that on SoundCloud and my original music on iTunes and Spotify and all that, that's that outlet. This show is something different. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about me.
Sure.
It's about the actual music. Yeah. So,
yeah, man. I think as long as you set the precedent, like this is what it's going to be, and like,
yeah,
you know, people, I'm sure everybody get on board.
Yeah, man. And again, I'm new to this, you know. Yeah. I did the radio thing for a long time, so I'm comfortable on the mic and I'm comfortable talking about it, but I just, you know, if you guys have any feedback, please.
Yeah.
I'm all ears on that, you know.
Well, yeah, man, hopefully we'll get that coming soon, man.
Soon. Yeah. Very soon, actually. I'm trying to drop this within the next week or two, so we'll see what happens.
Keep your eye out, and you're get ready for that, man.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, come on out to these shows. But like I said, we've got a busy summer, and you can catch DJ Moff all over St. Louis, and hopefully coming to a city near you, Kansas City and stuff, like we said.
Yeah, so got some new records coming out. Stay tuned, indieground.com, and just add DJ Moff on social media. We'd love to talk to you guys.
Yeah, man. I thank you so much for doing this. It's been a ton of fun getting to.
Thanks, man.
Hopefully we'll link up and do another one sometime soon.
Just count me in, man. I'm there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Take care, guys.
Do you want to dance?
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.